like to have you open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke. I'd like to read a little to you, beginning at verse 18 of the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Must commend you on your bravery for coming tonight, and I'm sure that the Lord will see to it that all of us are rewarded by Him. Luke 5 and verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed a man that was taken with a palsy. They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto the man, Thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemous? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. A little in the latter part of the chapter, beginning at verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilt, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also, having drunk old wine, straightway desireth new, for he saith, The old is better. I purposely omitted a number of the verses in the chapter, but I would like to review them with you for a moment, if I may, before I speak what I believe the Lord has laid upon my heart. In this chapter, if you carefully read it, you find, first of all, the word forgiven. Then you find the word follow. You find the word feasting. You'll find the word fasting. And you'll find the word filling. Forgiveness, following, feasting, fasting, and filling. I believe it's the order of Christian experience. We all must start with forgiveness. In this Gospel of Luke, only twice did the Lord Jesus utter these words. Only twice did he say, Thy sins be forgiven thee. He said it here in chapter 5 to a man. And the result of it was that he walked, that he had life, which he never had before in the fullest sense. In chapter 7, he says it to a woman. And the result of it was that she had love, which she never had before in the fullest sense. And I believe that absolutely true of every child of God at their conversion. When our sins are forgiven, we begin to live. We learn to walk. And we learn to love. Now, I don't want you to think tonight that you have to sit here because I'm preaching, but I'm leaving it up to the brother who has charge of the conference to decide what to do, our brother Young. There's one thing about it. If you stay seated, there's one part of you that will not get wet. And if you get up, you may get wet all over. That's where we begin. We begin with forgiveness of sins. It's utterly impossible to follow the Lord until we have learned that our sins are forgiven. I'm sure there's many people in this world that try to walk Christian life without ever having experienced the forgiveness of sins. In a common phrase, it would be putting the cart before the horse. It's utterly impossible for a dead person to walk. A person needs to have life before he can walk. A person needs to be born before that life can be manifested. A person needs to have a knowledge of forgiveness of sins. A person needs to have a personal contact with the Lord Jesus and hear him say to them as an individual, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." It's no use attempting to live as a Christian before you are a Christian. It's no use attempting to follow the Lord until the Lord has put away your sins. That's where you begin. That's the starting place for every child of God. There may be someone here tonight who for a long time and on many occasions has attempted to live as a Christian and found it a failure. Doubts came in. Fears came in. The reason for it is that you need to know, absolutely know, the forgiveness of sins by your personal contact with the Lord Jesus before you'll be able to walk. I want to dwell on this a little because I'm just afraid that some may be growing into Christianity. I used to travel for a company in Colorado a number of years ago, and I was in one of my customers, was a Christian, I'm sure he was. But I spoke to him one time about Christianity, and I said to him, "Doug, when did you become a Christian?" And this is the answer he gave me. He says, "I've been a Christian all my life." That's utterly impossible. There is no such thing as being born a Christian. You're born a sinner. That's what the Bible teaches. Many of our young people, I believe, particularly are growing with a mistaken idea that because they were brought up in a Christian home, they've always lived a respectable life, that makes them a Christian. It doesn't. You need an acknowledgement of sin before God, and you need personal forgiveness of those sins before you'll ever be a Christian. You need to be forgiven. Don't start in the wrong place. This man couldn't walk before his sins were forgiven. This woman couldn't love until her sins were forgiven. And that's necessary today. I want you to make no mistake whatever that there ever was a person in this world that was a Christian without hearing personally from his word this sentence uttered to them, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they can only be forgiven by your personal faith in the person of the Lord Jesus. More than that, the Lord Jesus said to you in this passage that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He cannot forgive them in hell. I want to emphasize that. The only place you can get your sins forgiven is while you're living in this world. The only possibility to have peace with God is by receiving it while you're living on this side of the grave. There is no such thing, as some people teach, of a second chance. I say it and I say it reverently. Christ can only forgive sins in this world. He only has power on earth to forgive sins. And you must get them forgiven here if you're going to have them forgiven at all. Well, let's take it for granted, most of you here tonight, I'm sure know that. Your sins have been forgiven. You have been in contact with Christ. You have heard Him say to you, thy sins be forgiven. Then the next thing He tells you is to follow Him. Don't follow men. Don't be misled by what people say. But listen to the voice of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul tells us that as ye have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. Following Christ takes as much faith as receiving Christ. It's something we exercise constantly. We need to be conscious of the fact that our following Him includes keeping our eye on Him. When you follow somebody, you watch them. You look at them. You keep your eyes riveted on them. When we were children at home and in our family, there were 12, we used to go out on a walk on Sunday afternoon. And we started out, maybe 9 children and father and mother. And when we left home, we had the privilege of walking behind them, as children will do, playing all along the roadside. But the moment the quarrel started, we had to walk in front of them. And most of them walked in front of them all the time. They could keep their eye on us. They couldn't watch us when we were behind them, but they could watch us when we were in front of them. And so Christ is walking in front of you. And He wants you to keep your eye on Him. By keeping your eye on Him, you'll not make any missteps. You'll walk where He walks. You'll follow as He asks you to do. You'll be contented with walking in the same steps and in the same place and in the same path and in the same manner as He walks. I'm going to rush through this a little bit because I feel sorry for you sitting in the rain. The third thing is feasting. You're to feast with the Lord Jesus. You're invited to revel into the things that He enjoys. And you can only feast with Him as you feast in this book. You can only feast with Christ as you feed yourself on the bread that God has left in the pages of this book. I don't know how your life is, but for a long time, my wife saved every letter I ever wrote to her. By the way, that may be a word of warning to you. Watch out what you write, because they'll bring it up to you later on. Every letter she saved, and I'm sure she read them many times. God has sent you a letter, and He wants you to feast on what He's written to you. To feast on all the wonders which He has obtained when He died on the cross. All the spiritual blessings. Take the first chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians and think of all those wonderful things that God has given to you to feast on. And then the next thing He wants you to do is to fast. But He didn't want them to fast while He was here. They only fasted when He had gone. When the bridegroom was there, they were not fasting. They fasted when He left. And Christ has gone back to heaven. And fasting in the Bible is nearly always self-denial. You have the privilege as a Christian to deny yourself things. To fast because you know the presence of the Lord Jesus. And then last but not least, He wants you to be filled. You know, the garment is what you do. And the barrel is what you are. And did you notice? It doesn't say that this lady took a piece of new cloth and put it on an old garment. But it said that she cut a new garment to pieces and put a piece on the old. Did you ever hear of anything sillier than that in your life? Think of somebody going out and buying a new dress and cutting a piece out of it to patch an old one that's ready for the rag bag. Yet that's what he did. In other words, he's telling us that instead of making Christ a garment, people are using Christ as a patchwork quilt. You're not to use him like that. You're not to take some of Christ and sew it on the old. You're not to take some of Christ and some of the law. You're not to take some of Christ and some of legality. You have to put on the new garment. The old never was any good anyway. And then last but not least, he tells you to put new wine in new bottles. That is, the joy of the Spirit of God cannot be contained in an unconverted person. It has to be a new creature in Christ in order to contain the joy that the Spirit of God has for them. Let me repeat them, and I'm going to close because I know you're getting wet. Let me repeat them. You start by forgiveness of sin. You go on by following the Lord Jesus. You have a right to feast on all that he feasts on. You are required to fast for him, to practice self-denial. And you have the privilege of being filled with the Spirit of God as you live for him in this world. Let's just ask the Lord's blessing upon our service, and I'm going to ask Brother Young to come back up if he has any announcements to make after we close. Our God and our Father, we thank thee tonight for the fullness of thy word. We thank thee for all it contains. We thank thee that when we were forgiven, we learned to walk, we learned to live, and we learned to love. And we pray thee that that may be evident in our lives in following him, in feasting upon what he has left us, in fasting for him in self-denial, and being filled with the Spirit of God. Bless thy word to us, we pray thee. And again, we remember this boy of which we heard. We ask thee, our Father, to lay thy good hand upon him. We pray thee for this as we give thee thanks in our Savior's name. Amen.